Yeah, we're back. I don't know.
Blog Talk Radio. The views expressed on Talk Real Solutions, hosted by Tyrone Thompson at TalkRealSolutions.com, are the views of Tyrone Thompson and do not reflect the views of TalkRealSolutions.com, YouTube, or etc. The content here belongs to Talk Real Solutions and its many contributors. Views and opinions expressed by all contributors belong to them and not TalkRealSolutions.com or Tyrone Thompson, the host, or etc. All data and information provided on the site is for informational purposes only. Talk Real Solutions makes no representation as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information on this site and will not be liable for any errors, omissions, or delays in this information or any losses, injuries, or damages arising from its display or use. All information is provided on an as-is basis.
Yeah, man, I don't know what the hell happens. I thought I had overtime. I spoke with Tyrone. He said overtime was coming. Guess it didn't come and cut everybody off. I couldn't even give the warning. I hate that. I don't know why everybody else did it, but I can't.
the back stage exit door closed on you, Alquan, and said you gotta be locked in another 3 hours, brother.
Well, I set this one for 2 hours, though, because I don't feel like staying up all night.
Okay.
So what's going on, Jay?
Live life, brother.
Yeah, you get the word on what this show is all about?
Yeah, I heard. I don't have detailed information on what you guys are speaking. I'm actually just listening and learning more and more, you know, some of the stuff that I did hear familiarized in the school system. But I haven't dug deep to actually get the accurate information. So I was just listening and just, you know, absorb it.
Okay. Yeah. It's unfortunate everybody had to get cut off. I hate when that does that. For some reason, it only happens on my show. I don't know why, but maybe it's not programmed right or something. But before I continue, let me just say that Jackie and Pianchi, they were saying something along the lines that sub-Saharan Africa described a geographical location, but the truth is, they described the racial one, the old racial one, which is North Africa, the so-called Berber and Arab, and the sub-Saharan Africa. Let's get real. They just call it Black Africa. That's racial. I mean, there's no getting around that because there's no geographical location, sub-Saharan Africa, and a lot of people fall for that, Black people in particular. And they think, oh, well, it describes Africa below the Sahara. But who else has done that but racist white people? No one has done that. And again, earlier in the show, at the beginning of the other show, I mentioned that even in the North, you have Black people. We had a caller earlier that called in, talked about his Moroccan wife who was Black, and he talked about there are Black people all throughout North Africa. But if you ask a white inhabitant of North Africa if there are any Black people, they'll tell you no. They'll stick to the white man's way of just saying everybody is a Berber or an Arab. If you look up at the CIA fact book, they'll call everybody an Arab or a Berber. And we all know, if you know the history of Arabism, you know that that's not true. And it can't be true. That's why everybody needs to watch Lawrence of Arabia, and they really need to pay attention to what's going on. Then you'll see exactly how Arabism came to be and how the Turks simply rebranded themselves. So again, there's no doubt that sub-Saharan Africa has racial connotations. It's all made up because of race, to separate Blacks, marginalize the Blacks. And if they had to, I think they probably wouldn't have included the Horn of Africa, but I guess they had to do that, throw everybody in there to make it look good. Because again, I read this description on Wikipedia, which is a racist website. They have racist people editing this thing all the time. The last line in the people of Ethiopia, they said the physical appearance of the Ethiopians are also from diverse, I guess, backgrounds ranging from a light-skinned, Western, Eurasian, admixed. But see, when they say these things, See, it's slick. That term Eurasian, that's a slick term. Because what does that mean? To the layperson, you see the Euro part. You're thinking Europe, white. Then you see Asian. See, sometimes they knock out the Europe part and call it Eurasian. Even though Europe is such a small part of the actual landmass of Asia. But this is what they do to be slick. But I say, because they always say the people in East Africa are mixed with whites. That's what white supremacists say. Now, I admit, if you're comparing facial features, some of them do have what you might call white facial features. Or you can say that the white man has black facial features, however you want to put it. But the one thing that none of these people can show is that white source in East Africa. They can't show it. And I'm of the type, if you can't show it, it doesn't exist. That's how I look at it. So forget that. That's more BS from the white man. Eurasian stuff. And then they say mix with sub-Saharan phenotypes. That's plural, phenotypes. But again, that sub-Saharan thing. So again, whoever wrote this, they're trying to make a racial separation. But the ones who are they're calling Eurasian mixed, these are the same Ethiopians who would tell you, we're not mixed with a damn thing. We're black, straight up. Now, these Ethiopians also speak Semitic languages. Maybe this could be another reason why the white man wants to call them mixed with Eurasian, Western Eurasian. Now, what is that? And why do they call these people Eurasians in the first place? It's more trickery, just to try and associate white people with people who created history. That's what it's all about. And again, this is all, I guess, what you can call jive, you know, to use the 70s term. This is BS, you know. And the Ethiopians, I say most of them are unequivocally black. Now, you compare that to, and they believe themselves to be black. Compare that to a lot of the Somalis, who are blacker than the Ethiopians on average, but a lot of them will say that they're different. Let's put it like that. And they get this from who? They get it from the white man. Because the white man tells them they're different, just like they tell some of us we're different. And if they favor something like the Tutsi and the Hutu, they told one of them, you're different. You're better because you have facial features, which we will consider to be closer to us because we said so. Can't prove it, but that's what it must be. That's the way they look at things. But and of course, you know what happened in Rwanda, or Rwanda, how they call it. You get conflict because people are playing favorites. And I definitely have to say, man, this whole topic, as you can see, some of the callers we have, they're kind of confused on the topic, or either that they want to keep the old topic alive, which I think should be done away with. And Nas was reading and he was saying that people are trying to get it done away with. While Jackie was reading something, well, telling us something from one of her Nigerian buddies who said that he calls himself a sub-Saharan African. And that's dumb to call yourself that. But if you want to, go ahead. But I'm just saying, and I stated the case as always, that there's no such thing as a sub-Saharan African. And there's definitely no such thing as a sub-Saharan African people. That's why they talk about these phenotypes. But this, in this Ethiopian article, they say the people range from light skin, Western Eurasian, admix. So they're trying to say that they're mixed, but they can't tell you what they're mixed with and where these people came from. Maybe they're talking about the Turks that settled on parts on the Horn of Africa. But they don't say, because the white people don't know. They just look at them and say it must be the case. But again, these people are in what they call sub-Saharan Africa as well. So if they're in sub-Saharan Africa, then they're a sub-Saharan phenotype. This is why when you read things, you got to look for the tricks, man. They're always tricking you. And they're always BSing. It's a damn shame. But again, I think the people need to come back, press one, continue where we left off, which I think Jackie was saying something. I forgot what she was getting into. But hopefully in the future, I got to get this this hour extension thing, this overtime. I got to get this thing straightened out. I'm really getting tired. Every time I think every episode, I keep thinking I'm getting overtime, and there's no overtime. And then I have to start a new one. But
nah,
Tyrone
man,
is not
starting.
What's that?
I said, "What happened to MandelaCon?" He was yelling and he disappeared.
Yeah, I unmuted his line, and I guess maybe he stepped away from the phone. I only like to mute people when they don't know how to shut up. That's the only time I mute them. But I'm sure he'll probably call back. There's a lot of people on. Matter of fact, 404. Let's see. I think that's Jackie.
Nah, this is Nas, man.
Oh, Nas, what's going on? Yeah, man, I like what you had to say tonight. You definitely, what's that?
No,
you're giving me a history lesson, bro, and just make reminding me of certain things that I probably didn't even, you know, don't remember. So thank you for the class. I'm learning.
No problem. That's what we're trying to do.
A lot of interesting stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. But before we got cut off, Jackie was making a point that whatever you search for, you know what I mean, you're going to find it because you specifically search for that. And the point to that is that's how search engines work. But also, if it's not there for you to find, then it doesn't exist. But if you search something and you find a whole lot of, you know, extensive stuff on it, then that kind of means it's the same. So, you know, it's like you can't really knock somebody for searching for something and finding it. Like, I didn't get that point that she was saying at the end, but that was where we closed out because Jackie was. I guess she's still trying to just look at it as just a geographic term. I'm just saying there's a whole lot more to it. There's a whole lot of history behind it.
She even read a definition that showed that they separated it by race or culture. And like I said, you look at the history of the Arabs. That's a white man created thing. Arabs calling all these people Arabs. Because the Turks ruled the land last before the so-called Europeans took it over. So they were the last one. So who did they overthrow? Especially in Egypt. That's why I mentioned Sadat and Nasser. I mean, come on, let's get real. They overthrew the Turks. And Turks were still ruling the country. You got to understand, all they did was rebrand themselves. Now they're Arabs. That's why you got to look at that pivotal scene in Lawrence of Arabia. Towards the end, when they had King, I think, Fahd or Saud or whatever his name was, and Lawrence came in with the meeting with him and the British guy, and then he saw how they double-crossed him and he wasn't fighting for what he thought he was fighting for. That was it right there. That's the pivotal moment. That's Arabism. That's created by the white man.
Yeah, man. And so, history is always the migration of peoples, the disappearing of some peoples, the conquering of some people. Like, just think about right now. If this whole thing fell apart and somebody else took it over, they would be looking at, you know, the monuments and things like that, and then they would claim those monuments. You know what I mean?
Right.
They would say, what is an American? You know what I mean? That would become a difficult discussion if it's hundreds of years down the road with everything different. So, yeah, man, history and migration and people moving around and up. All of that makes all of this stuff complicated.
Yeah, people, you know, they can recognize that whites drew the lines, the borders of Africa, but they somehow get stumped on this sub-Saharan thing, which I don't quite understand. And like you said earlier, I mean, it was clearly, we know what it was created for. Like you said, to separate people, mainly to separate history in the Mediterranean from all of Africa. And the people.
Yeah.
And then you go into the Middle East,
really called Western Asia, and you look up how they carved up the Middle East. There's a guy, his name was Mr. 5%, who basically, a British guy, who actually did most of the carving along with Churchill and them boys. And their whole thing was, okay, We're splitting it up based on oil. And we're going to get a percentage of the profits. We're going to create the infrastructure. And these will be the nations that have it. And that's how they created these nations. And, you know, you go a couple of decades, and before you know it, people think that's the way it always was. And usually they cut these dividing lines up by people who don't like each other, or they cut people who don't like each other in between the same landmass. And then you got civil war, and you got an easy way to divide and rule. Like that's an old British tactic.
Right. And a lot of people try desperately to keep these dividing lines intact. Like when I argue with these so-called North African white supremacists, you know, online, and one had the last name of Pasha. His name is Murad Pasha. I told the guy, I said, your last name is Turkish, man. It's not Arabic. So what are you arguing about being a Berber and an Arab for? Come on. Then as we went along, the man started, you know, the niggers started coming out and all that kind of stuff. You Afro-Americans, you don't have any history. You're trying to swipe ours. I said, motherfucker, you went to Africa trying to swipe theirs.
Right.
Come on.
Right. And then when the infrastructure falls, or the straw man they put in power or who's taking power, when that you remove that person, then all the tribal conflict comes into play, like Libya. So you get Gaddafi out of there, now all of that old tribal stuff comes into play. And they're putting, you know, black people on display in zoos and murdering them in the streets and everything else that was going on in Libya. Well, probably still going on to this moment.
Yeah.
But Gerald Horn was on C-SPAN the other day. Like I said before, he's probably the best historian we got going as far as, you know what I mean, black American historian. He was on C-SPAN the other day talking about Haiti and, man, a whole bunch of other stuff. Man, people need to really check that brother out, man. He is a prolific writer. I mean, just book after book after book, man. That dude would eke out 3 in a year. Detailed, heavy with history. Check him out. Gerald Horn, he just wrote one on Paul Robeson. And what was the last one? Counter-Revolution of 1776. But check that brother out. Gerald Horn, H-O-R-N-E. Huh? Really,
okay, I'm writing that down too. Check that guy out. Fuck that, Zagara Morocco. I'm gonna check that out too.
That's the one from J.A. Rogers. I got him from J.A. Rogers, one of his books. He talked about him. He had a black father, and his mother was a black slave. So this was a fully black person, because you know they love to say any person of that era was, you know, somehow Arab or something like that. But
yeah, that's how they obscure person. Identities, Arab and Berber. Like I tell people, man, I think it was last year I was on Yahoo website and they were talking about the Arabs of, I think it was Mali, Northern Mali, while the conflict was going on. It, when they showed the Arabs, I said, oh, that's something. They don't really show them on CNN. They were black. You know, you don't hear about them. And they had crisp hair, not soft hair. So I'm thinking to myself, damn, the government of Mali is what they would call so-called sub-Saharan, dark skin, looking like Akon. And you had the Tuareg or the Berbers or whatever fighting. You know, they range from jet black to Obama color, I guess you could say.
Right.
And the Arabs were kind of like in between the two, but they were more consistent with color, you know?
And we don't even have to get way over there to see that. We can see that right here in our hemisphere. When you look at Haiti, when you look at the ruling class over there, and not only, you know, whose descendants they are, but how many, you know, mixed people end up in that leadership, you know, wealthy class over there who are putting their foot down on the others. You know, the Dominican Republic and all these other, Brazil, hell. When you look at that huge population of Brazil, and for better research on that, that's another Gerald Horn classic. Look up The Deepest South by Gerald Horn. Man, he details the African slave trade to Brazil and why they have such a huge black population down there. Because they had the opposite one-drop rule down there. One drop of white blood meant you were white. because they had so much interracial sex going on because of, you know, the amount of slaves that they had down there. The slave population was so much bigger than the white population. So they would have skinned as hell, you know what I mean, presidents and people in high offices. And when the Confederates ran down to Brazil after they were getting the ass kicked, because they tried to use Brazil as a base of operations in order to get themselves together to continue to fight against the Union. They were running in down there like, whoa, look at these swarthy people down here. This is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, these are Negroes down here. Because America had the one-drop rule, one drop of black blood.
Yeah, you look at the Brazilian government today, you know, even though I think she's still the president. I guess they're trying to impeach her or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, they
did get rid of her?
Well, I don't know if she's fully toppled, but, I mean, it looks like they got
last I read, she was on her way out. Now, she's obviously mixed, but then a lot of the others in the government, they look a little more white.
Right.
Well, you compare that to the last guy they had that was the leader of Brazil. He was obviously mixed type. You know, that's the way that country is. And when I did the show on the slavery in Portugal, you got to look at the way those Portuguese looked as the government was formed and as they were going out of Europe, you know?
Some of them people look Latin as hell, and you talk to them about Santeria, and you'll find out that their family's been practicing Santeria for generations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They got this African tradition even within them and their religious culture of them. So, that shit is a trip. But you're right, though, as far as talking about how these cultures move and how things change based on that. Because if you just look at it from what you see, then you never know. So when you look at an American now, say, okay, that's an American. And if you ain't on a reservation or close to some native area, you ain't really looking at a real, you know what I mean, a real American. Not like the Sarah Palin concept of real American.
It's like they were saying earlier, it's like, okay, what do we call ourselves, Black American or this or African or whatever? Again, if you say you're an American, a lot of people will say, well, I'm from the South. Obviously, if you're from the South, that's a different type of culture. If you're from Louisiana, that's an even more unique culture. So, you know, if you want to separate by culture, then, you know, that's a hard thing. That's going to be a whole lot of people, a whole lot of different titles. So that's why black is just a little easier. Believe me, I like something more dignifying, more professional. But when you think about it, there are people called Puerto Rican, Rich Port. I mean, that really doesn't describe a people.
Right,
you know, you hear people say, I'm 100% Puerto Rican, baby. But I mean, what does that really mean? It doesn't mean anything,
right?
And Puerto
Taíno.
Nah, they're not Taíno either. I seen pictures of those Taínos, man. They look like what they are, mulattoes, just with some Indian paint on. That's all.
There was a couple of like documentaries I seen, and they showed some of the history. And, you know, how our people been, you know, there, for many years before, and, you know, had to do with all the different Caribbean islands as well. That same type of system that happened at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you got to think about the location of some of these areas. So you get like Galveston, Texas, and how close it was to being an easy port to get people, you know, to the Caribbean. Same thing with, you know, New Orleans and Charleston and some of these other areas. You think about how easy it was, you know, to transport people. That affects how the population is going to look to this day, way back then. Because that determined, you know, the percentage of slaves, the percentage of so-called free people, and everything else. So, yeah, man. Like I said, the movement of peoples, man, it determines a whole lot of things. And if you don't go back far enough, you think that's the way it always was.
Yep. And speaking of the movements of people, that was my point about the DNA. All these movements and all these mixtures, this is why you just can't sample 1,800 people. And in that article I read, they sampled 1,800 people across Africa. You cannot get any science out of that. Come on.
Yeah. That's a lot of folks to be using that small. Yeah. That is a lot of folks. And dude,
you can't even
like,
sample 1,800 in one country.
When you start talking about world, right, when you start talking about world population, we got, I want to say 320-something or something in that area. If you use all of Europe, you're talking about like 500. So that's a total of like 800-something million. China is still at 1.4 billion right now. So no matter what, it's inevitable that China is going to be the next world power. Economically, they're almost already there. But their middle class is going to be so huge that all of these countries they're exporting to now are eventually going to be the manufacturing hubs who are going to be manufacturing stuff to send back to China to sell to that
middle
class.
That might be a problem right there. See, people don't realize in China, you got different, I'll say even races in China. You know, you got white people or white style people in there. You got black style people there. You got Indian type people there. I used to think too, because I was like, okay, Chinese is just that look that you see, you know? And I'm sure if you used to watch the Kung Fu movies, you used to see the darker Chinese, and some of them had the less chinky eyes. And I know a lot of us used to say, damn, that's a Chinese? Well, I guess so. They're in the movie, you know? But these are different races. China has a pretty interesting history, man. When you actually read the real history on it,
Shanghai is a hustle city. They hustle like Chinatown and New York City. Straight
right.
up. You do have the high end. I was thinking when you had mentioned China, I was also thinking all these ghost cities that they have built. They can't fill in those residents. You know, they went and started building with a lot of the money that they did get and started investing in these buildings almost like I think when the economic something happened where there was a lot of people building in South Beach, Florida. And I think this was like during the early 2000s. And after 9/11, like a lot of those buildings, they stopped building. Same thing happened overseas in Dubai, where these buildings was being constructed and the money ran out for whatever reason.
Yeah, but China's in a different predicament, though, because they're still, like, building those ghost towns, knowing they'll be ghost towns. But what are you doing when
but
you're doing
some
that?
Some people are going to move in there.
Construction people.
Right.
They're still not filling them, but think about it. Your construction people are working. Your people
right,
with materials
right.
are working. Your government agencies are working. Like, you're like, manufacturing capital, basically. Like, you're making work. Kind of like the U.S. with the old, what was that, under Roosevelt, the works program. It's kind of similar to that. But, you know, China, I guess they hit a downturn for a while. But, I mean, just because of numbers, I mean, they're on the rise, man. And they got the money to go to Africa and build these rail stations and all these different things that they're building there and they're getting materials. It is what it is, man. They're going to keep
getting
I know
they
money.
Definitely – they definitely moving. I seen that Vice episode where they going big in Africa.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the stuff they're building in Africa is like just enough to be better than what they have, but not really enough to take them far. Because some of these places have been more advanced huts that they've been building. So, you know, I think China needs to give the Africans the know-how. If they're not, then they
yeah,
got something
see,
else planned.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. They're bringing their people down there to do it. So they're
right.
getting the training, the skills, and they're going to be the ones who got to come back and fix the railroad when it goes down, the new mining
right.
equipment and all of that. So they're concerned with themselves first, and the Africans are making a huge mistake if they think, like, they're going to get better deals than the Europeans gave them, but if they think that China's interest is going to be you know, theirs first instead of China first, and, you know, they're going to be mistaken. But they marrying African women down there, like, they doing business. A lot of people making money. Pianchi would be really good on this because he knows a lot about it.
Yeah, I did see one video where they were talking about the railroad and the engineers that were coming from China. The Chinese specifically in this video said that they were training the Africans to do all to take care of the railroads and all that kind of stuff. That's what they said.
Right, but they're going to be the laborers. It's like the way it is in New York. You got the Italians that run the construction, right? And they have the high end or the high level positions, and then you got all the laborers or the people that, you know, do the low end, and they pay them cheaper. So what they're going to do is they're going to have their people, which they still pay cheap Chinese, but they're going to be paid better than the Africans, and they giving them like the low end jobs. You got to do some research on that, because I was seeing what these guys were saying, and they were complaining. There was a brother that he had left the job, and he was, you know, he said, "Man, what you think this is not what it is," and it was explaining.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the Shanghai skyline right now. You know, China has some powerful cities, man. I mean, they're definitely looking strong. But right now, Shanghai has a metro area of 34 million. Damn.
Right, but in a certain sense, though, the Africans are as naive as we are if we think another people is going to have our interests ahead of theirs. You know what I'm saying? So even if they are hiring some people, at the end of the day, it's about China. It's not about them. You know, they want the partnerships, of course, because, you know, that's where the materials are, resources are, and, you know, they want to take as much space as they can as far as, you know, globally, but... Hell, I think that's what that TPP deal is about. Like, America just basically saying, look, we're going to plant a flag over here and get a huge piece of this, too. We're not going to allow China to just run, you know, the South Seas and all of this. We're going to get a piece of this, too.
Damn, they said there's 24 million people in Shanghai? Is this right? Damn.
I don't know.
That
crazy.
Can't be right.
It's
I thought
awesome
this
city. Hustle City.
Oh, you went there?
Yeah, that shit is crazy out there, man.
Damn.
Did it look
that
like
the most like a
populated
skyline,
place you had ever been, Jay?
You say that again?
Did it look like the most populated place you had ever been?
Nah, Japan. Japan, it looks more crazier.
Because they got such little space and they economize the hell out of every
place. Yeah,
inch.
Like. Yeah, like China is packed, but it's not like the way what I seen Japan. But then again, it's been a minute, you know, since I seen Japan. So, but in regards to China, you know, yeah, this is a bunch of restaurants out there, and you know, that you have two sides of it, man. You got the nice skyscrapers they building, you know, and then you got the nice area, and then you got the downside, you know, the area that's not, you know, people, you know, can't afford to be living in the skyscrapers, and as you go more on the outskirts, then it becomes more country. So, you know, it's the same type of situation to a certain degree over here. You know, you have, like, poverty. It's not everything I'm saying the situation, but I'm saying as far as class and, you know, you got people that's doing good and people that's not doing so good.
Yeah, I was watching this thing, I think it was Singapore or Indonesia, the public housing. And the public housing, they look like luxury apartments, and they say most people live in public housing out there. And they really look nice, which was crazy, though, because I got a hold of that because I want to look up Los Angeles housing projects, because I'm like, I heard somebody mention them, and I'm like, that's the one thing I have to say, man. I haven't seen any New York-style, Chicago-style housing projects in Los Angeles. So I said I wanted to see what they have.
Yeah, they started doing away with that stuff, man. They started doing away.
Yeah, I couldn't find any high-rise ones.
Yeah.
Just spread out. And
don't they got, like,
kind
building,
of wild.
Stricter, more building codes, though, over there? Because it's Los Angeles and earthquakes and all that?
Yeah, I was reading on that, too. They said
that's
why a lot of the skyscrapers are flat, because they need helicopter access.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think
it's
been turning away from them in the late 90s. Remember that when they started bringing down Cabrini Green and all that other stuff?
Right, they started
knocking
down Newark and East Orange, New Jersey, too. They knocked down a bunch of buildings.
Yeah, a lot of
Damn.
Places are doing it. I was watching this documentary. It's called the Pruitt Igo Projects. Pianchi should know about that. It took place in St. Louis. And they were talking about how that was a disaster for 20 years. It was like, I think it was a whole bunch of acres of 33 buildings, gigantic buildings, during the 50s and lasted up into the mid-70s. Then they had to tear it down as they couldn't keep it up. The crime went on. People started getting killed, started looking crazy, started looking like unkept, and they knocked them all down.
Yep.
And that's crazy.
Same
back then, in the 50s and
60s,
St. Louis had almost 900,000 people. I think now they got less than half of that. That's crazy.
And think
now,
about the arguments they made when those things was going up. How, oh, this is going to be affordable housing for poor people. They'll be able to do this and do that. And then how all that shit played out. In damn near every city, they became the most dangerous places to be. You know what I'm saying?
And there was another documentary I saw. It was on YouTube. And the Pruitt-Igoe was on YouTube as well. There was another video on the side of that that took place in 1974. They were talking about housing projects, public housing, and the dangers. And they were talking about Brownsville, London,
Pink House,
and some other spots.
Sabrina Green, Robert
design,
Taylor Holmes.
Yeah, they were talking about the design plays a pivotal role in crime. If people feel like...
Well, look at the way it's built. Look at the way it's built.
Yeah,
like, it's strategically built like a military, almost like military, like a prison. If you look at the way the buildings are built, you know, the angles, you know, and I mean, housing projects.
Right.
And there was one in London. That one looked like a crazy internment camp. And they said the crime was crazy because just by the way it looks, you had the, I guess, skywalks or whatever, and it looks like you don't own your own place. It's like you're in an internment camp. Then they show one in San Francisco, it looked like a condo, it looked like you owned it. And so people respected it more because they felt like it was theirs and not something they were forced to have. And by the way, I got 302. I opened your line. Who's 302?
Yes, Alquan. As you were laying out in your program earlier, with the words that you put forth, which is the White Man's Pretty Book, and we're going to put that in the proper perspective. You were talking about sub-Saharan Africa, a white man's term. You have to throw in the term called the Middle East. And I'm here to tell you that the Middle East is no such thing. That's Western
Asia,
according to your orientation. The
Middle East,
there's no such thing as the Middle East. And as it relates to sub-Saharan Africa, how we are being treated in the Americas, because 99% of African people do not live in the United States of America. And as it relates to the orientation of the Middle East, that's an illegal, alien, European invader, white man's term, just as sub-Saharan Africa. Sub-Saharan means the subculture of people, pro-culture, but they live in a substandard living, a substandard way of life. The only people who are omniscient, omnipresent, and living the above sub-Saharan Africa are the illegal alien European invaders because they stole our legacy. So real sub-Saharan Africa is the Americas, where second to the continent of Africa, the most African people live in North, South, and Central America. Only 1% of blackness is being discussed in Talk Real Solutions because you're not talking about the 99% of African people who live in sub-Saharan Africa based on the resources. So what I'm telling you is different than Pianke, Allfax, Joe, or Jay, or any of those, or Tyrone, because they are speaking in the interest only of the 1% of blackness called the United States of America. So the truth of the matter is that there is no Middle East. There is no sub-Saharan Africa, because all of North, South, Central America Southeast Asia, and the so-called Arab world is an extension, including the continent of Africa, is an extension of the Ethiopian Empire, which exists in North, South, and Central America. That's why you can see all them mounds that Pianke was talking about and everybody else. That shit is all over in the Americas, and this is where it all was originated from before y'all discovered a so-called holy land called Jerusalem, or a so-called holy land called the continent of Africa proper as we know it. So y'all discussing things in two different manners because you don't know the true essence of the Middle East. And there ain't no such things. White people made that up. You don't know there's no such thing as sub-Saharan Africa.
Ben used to say, Middle East of what? That's what Ben used to say. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, it's totally made up term by them.
This is West Africa is the United States of America. West Africa is the United States of America. Only 10% of the people came from West Africa in a slave ship. 90% of African people never been to Africa, never been on a slave ship proper. But this is Ethiopia. 90% of us never was in slavery. All the indigenous, all the so-called Native Americans are African people. The Native Americans of China is African people.
Hey, man, there's a difference between being somewhere and then saying a whole people are that. There's a huge difference between the two. And another point on China, they're building a $40 billion canal through Nicaragua.
They who? They who? When you say they,
China.
Who are they? They who? We ain't building shit. We not building shit. So quit talking about they. This is French. We, the majority, workers and poor peasants. We are the ones we've been waiting for. When you say they, you're talking about the white man. When you say Middle East, you're talking about the white man. When you say Africa, you're talking about the white man. They are building shit.
It's China, but China's building a $40 billion canal because some of
we love China. We love China. We love Russia. African people love China and love Russia. Yes, we are building.
Not according to the show on Rice. You better check out what's going on down there, Brother Mandela Khan. It's not.
No. You better check out what Uncle Sam is doing while y'all supporting Uncle Sam.
Maybe there's
certain. Listen, your ass, Jay.
Don't get it twisted.
Nah. I'm not trying to listen
to
that shit. You're trying to turn African people against Russia and China. You are an enemy against African people, but you're trying to turn the people against Russia and China. And you're trying to uphold Uncle Sam, Jay. So
I'm
I can't listen to nothing you're saying.
Against Russia and China. Oh,
No. I'm not saying what
you're
saying. I'm saying
all.
Russia and China is our friend. Russia and China is our friend. Russia and China is our friend, Jay. In 2016, Russia and China is our friend. Cuba is our friend. North Korea is our friend. North Korea, Cuba, Russia, and China is our friend.
That's
Russia,
BS.
China,
Russia,
Cuba.
The other Germanics. They're not our friends.
Cuba, North Korea, Russia, China, Iran is our friend. Iran is the friend of the black man.
Listen.
No, they're not.
They said this.
Cuba, Russia, China,
what are they getting in return?
North Korea is the friend of African people.
But they were our friend. How come Iran has white rulership? Cuba has white rulership. Russia has white rulership.
Yeah, because
Iran
on the world
black.
Stage, right? On the world stage, there are no friends. There's only temporary allies. So there's no thing of this country and these people are. No, man. People move towards their interests, and that's it.
Yep.
That's why nations move. There's no thing of this is our friend forever, and we'll never get in an argument.
And the race game is always in effect too.
There is no argument because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. My enemy is Uncle Sam. Y'all's friend is Uncle Sam. Y'all's friend is Uncle Sam. That's why I don't have to listen to you. Your own testimony says Uncle Sam is your friend, but that's my enemy. That's
the
people's enemy on the planet. Uncle Sam is the enemy of the people on the planet. That's
the
first enemy that's got to be defeated.
Do you know the
Uncle Sam
giving over there? Do you know the deal that they're giving over there, Mandela Khan?
Do you know the deal that Uncle Sam gave you that you protected? You gave Uncle Sam a dirty deal when you gave him your property against your permission. So that's the deal that we're dealing with first. And Russia, China, Cuba, and North Korea and Iran is the friend of the black woman and man. That's what I know, Jay. I know that your boss, Uncle Sam, is the enemy of all life on the planet. I know that.
I don't work for
when
Uncle
it goes,
Sam.
When it goes against your interest of not being your friend, they won't be your friend. That's the way the game goes. And if you go a little deeper with that, then
the game of the white man, you're right. You're absolutely right. The game of the white man is monopoly, corruption, and that's the game you're playing.
All right, man,
and I'm not with y'all.
Mandela kind of hates to bust the bubble, but I'm not with Uncle Sam.
I don't have no
sorry.
Bubble, Jake. You lying again. Ain't no bubble. Uncle Sam is gone, you motherfucker. So you can't protect Uncle Sam and bust my bubble. I'm not here to support you. I'm here to question Uncle Sam and everything he stands for. You're here to protect him. By shielding and pointing in other directions. You a point dog.
Right. Listen, how about
everybody.
This? Uncle Sam in the same category as China. How about that? You feel better now?
Hell no, because I know you lying. I know you lying.
Hmm. Well, how's Iran the black man's friend?
Well, remember the Iranian hostages. You young people, go look at this up. It wasn't Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi. It wasn't none of that. It was Iran and Iraq.
Yeah,
and it was
people,
Iran.
Right?
It was Iran who took American hostages, and they created all the other nations of terrorists to try to fight Iran. But the Holy Mullahs is the supreme government Islam on the planet, the so-called mullahs, okay? That's what they won't tell you. So it don't matter whether it's Ayatollah Khomeini or whoever. All of them are the government of the Muslim world. And they, white power won't tell you that. But Iran took the hostages of America, just like Haiti took white power. And Haiti and Iran is being used as propaganda that y'all say is the enemy of black people when it's not true.
Now, how's Russia? Because they're definitely not on our side.
Well, Russia always supported the African Liberation Movement. You can go look up Alexander Pushkin, the Three Musketeers, the Count of Monte Cristo. The African Russians are not European. The Russians are not European themselves. They are against everything that America and England wants in the UN. Russia and China has checkmated because now Russia is in North Africa and China is in South Africa to tell all white people that you will not expand with your military forces against the black man. And Russia supported the African liberation struggle, the Cuba, everything, the Sandinistas, everything else. Russia always supported African revolution, and China was turned into a nation of junkies, and they never attacked the African lands, but they was turned into a nation of junkies, and now they're the most feared nation on the planet Earth, and they in solidarity with the mighty pain. They can feel 200 million.
You know, I was watching this documentary on Carlos the Jackal, and they showed a scene where they said that the Russians had Sadat assassinated.
Well, let me tell you this scene here. That in the cartel of white power, Russia and China has checkmated the chessboard, and they've been in solidarity with African liberation, and they will be so from this day forward. And Robert Mugabe and yours truly, your boy, is the secure party as it relates to the United States of Africa, which will overturn the world community as it relates to the IMF, the World Bank, and the Federal Reserve, because we're in global reset and all of our land will be returned to our people without a goddamn battle, because they know they stole our shit and we are ready to get it all back without firing a motherfucking shot.
What about the Russians assassinating Brother Sadat?
Well, here's what you got to know. The Cold War, when the Cold War was gone, that's why white power had to consolidate, because Russia was going to destroy the European Union along with the Africans. Russia, as everybody should know, is not with the so-called European Union, the so-called few nations of Europe that's so-called allied states. Russia is ready to crush these motherfucking white people into oblivion. China is ready to do the same thing. The only people who ain't, who's upholding them, is the people who is covering for Uncle Sam.
All
and
right,
they black.
Mandela Khan, let me ask you a question.
You're right. You're one of them. You're the main one. Go ahead, Jay.
Right,
your turn.
Cool,
go ahead.
Cool. No, seriously. Listen, how do you feel with the deal that China supposedly is doing. They're building the infrastructure.
I feel great. That's a great thing.
Now,
guess
listen,
who's coming to
no,
dinner, Jay? That's a great thing. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Whatever you say, that's a great, great thing. That's great.
Let him speak. Let him speak.
You know, in return, they're leaving the countries with debt. And what they're saying is that basically the country doesn't have enough money to pay for it right now, you know, depending where it's at when they're doing business. Who's going to pay for that? Now, is it going to come out to people that worked for it and now they're going to get their taxes or they're going to get a fee, the services? Why should the people be left with this debt if China's going to do this service? And I know nothing is for free. Let's not get it twisted. But I'm saying the type of deal, what they're saying that they're getting, it's not panning out to be even. Of course, you got to pay something. But what they're saying is basically it's like almost like a double debt. In a sense of like the profit, like if it costs, you know, this much, I'm gonna do it for you, but now you're gonna have to pay me triple what it costs to make. What do you think about that, Brother Mandela Khan?
You know, it's good that you brought that up because in the short time that you laid out that resume of what China did or is doing, you're gonna take that maybe 7, 8, 10 years. But, you know, if 500 years of what Uncle Sam has been doing, and you dismiss that, and all of a sudden in 2016, Jay from New York around the United Nations going to bring up the atrocities of China, a short relationship to Africa, a short one, but yet you would have the audacity to bring up a little short, a few years relationship, but you will not put on the table the scale of balances of justice of the 500-year-old oppression of white power and Uncle Sam under the United States of America. That's so revealing, Jay. So I'm glad you indict China.
Acknowledge that. Yeah, you go. You see, that's what I told you. Inhale, brother. Inhale, exhale.
No, I'm
talk,
telling you
right?
that your 10-year relationship that you put on the table is null and void because it does not replace white power and the white people under Uncle Sam who has oppressed our people and stole more loot, more booty, more booty call, everything. Uncle Sam is stealing.
You're offending us.
In China. Now, that's a very extraordinary. That's very extraordinary that
you
would put that forth.
How are you getting high right now on the phone?
I'm not, Jay. You've taken the white man's trip. I'm not getting high. Outside of the United States of America, the majority of people on the planet. Jay,
yeah,
Jay,
yeah, I know.
You got the white man's script. Listen, let me tell you something. In Mexico, Bolivia, Peru, Colombia, Jamaica, they're going to smoke reefer and do cocaine for millions of years. Outside the Pakistan, Afghanistan, and India, they're going to smoke hashish and have heroin for millions of years.
What about
so you don't ask me nothing,
opium?
You no good white man's bastard. You don't have
the
audacity to ask me nothing.
Out there?
Because you got the white man's playbook, man. So who the fuck are you? Who
like
in the
said,
fuck are you, Jay?
Is that a fair deal? And you didn't answer.
I don't answer no questions to a motherfucking agent who worked for Uncle Sam, who done been oppressing black people for 500 years, and he can't offer a sentence to that in 2016, this genocide. You dismiss.
Mandela Khan, do your research, brother, and see what the deal is.
Your research
return.
Is that you do not
the
work
return.
For the freedom and
listen,
justice and independence. Your research is that you do not work for the freedom and justice and independence in 2016.
We're talking about that
we you
present.
Talking about we is you. I'm not
China.
Talking about what you're talking about, Jay. We're talking about something different. That we you talking about is a small percentage. You, Uncle Sam's dick eater. Us is the workers in poor peasants. This is what I'm talking about.
Mandela
so we're talking about two different things.
Mandela
we're talking about two different things,
me.
Jay.
Listen.
I can't listen
I
to you, Jay.
You
Jay, you a follower
listen.
Of Uncle Sam. I
listen.
Cannot listen
Again.
To you.
I'm
I cannot
you
do that, Jay. NYC. Jay at NYC
right?
in New York. You are Uncle Sam's blocker, tackle, and fumble, his gatekeeper. You are Uncle Tom's cabin. You are Uncle Remus. You are making sure that Uncle Sam never get the irony of our people. You're doing exactly and precisely what Uncle Sam's playbook says, because Russia and China is the bear, or Russia or China is the communist socialist China, and you live in a democracy. That's why you're giving Uncle Sam a pass, You are guilty as a motherfucker, as the worst criminal inside the so-called black community. You, the Black Lux Klan, Jay.
Mandela Khan.
Jay.
Check out the price.
The Joker.
See what is the return. If I'm
no,
going to sell you
I'm
something
gonna check
for $100,
you, Jay.
$300,
you are the only
brother.
One who's blocking tapping the phone for Uncle Sam. I'm checking out Jay, the Joker, who's blocking
I'm
tapping
gonna
the phone.
I'm going to sell you a bag of air for $300, all right?
Jay, you are a comic view. You should be on Homebox with your fucking humor. Really.
Like
you
I
should.
Said, I'm going to sell you a bag of air for $300.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Go tell your daddy, your Uncle Sam, that he can't sell me shit. I'm not buying no land from him. I'm not buying no water from him. Go tell that motherfucker that, since you're going to sell me something. He sold your grandmother, your grandfather, motherfucker. So how you going to sell me
Mandela
anything?
Mandela Khan, I'm going to sell you a bag of air for $300, all right?
I'll tell you what, you go get the air and put it in the bag, and when I see you, the red, black, and green going to see if you're going to buy me something or I'm going to sell you something. But you ain't going to be able to influence the people no more with your wicked tongue. So when you get the air, tell me where you'll be in what city and what block, and the red, black, and green going to see what you fuck you going to sell me. You, Jay.
Yeah, on that note, I think I'm going to cut this episode short unless somebody raises their hand right now. We got 5 seconds. Because I'm getting tired as hell right now. I'm going to be honest with you.
I love you, Aquan. I love you, Aquan.
Thanks, man. Thanks, brother. So right now, we're going to end this episode. Thanks for calling. And lastly, there is no such thing as a sub-Saharan African. That's been proven. So we definitely thank you for calling.